You are listening to the Fancy Free podcast where my girlfriends and I tell our most embarrassing funny stories so that we all feel less alone in our imperfections. And you guys, this is such a treat this week. I have a really old friend with me today, Isla Achabowski, and we've had a lot of laughs together through the years, but we have not seen each other as much lately because we met because our kids were in preschool together and now our kids are pretty much grown up. Isla is mom to Evan, who is 16, and Emma, who is 14, and she is a business owner. She says that she's in kind of a funny zone right now where she's trying to find out who she is and what her value is in life, and I can so relate to that. But her kids are kind of off doing their own things, and she's not sure where it leaves her. So you guys are going to love her. Isla, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Joanne. I'm so excited to be doing this.
Oh, thank you. Well, fill in the blanks. What did I miss about who you are and what you do?
You didn't miss much. And that's part of it is let's talk again in 6 months. And I hope to have a longer, more exciting list of who I am.
Well, being mom to Evan and Emma is very important.
Yeah.
That's major, you know?
It is major. And it obviously has been the focus of my life, being a wife and mom for the last 20 years. And now that they don't need me quite as much, I'm flailing a little bit, but not in a bad way. I kind of just follow them around like a puppy dog and they tell me to leave them alone. And it reminds me I need to start doing things. And so this is one of the ways that I'm stepping out of my box and discovering new things and just trying to find some new things that are exciting. And maybe I'll find something that I'm good at along the way.
I was so excited when I got your submission. I was like, oh boy, oh goody.
Here's what I had to do before I gave you my submission, because I've been wanting to do this with you for a month or 6 weeks, but most of my stories date back a little ways, and most of them are with my very best friend who I grew up with. And I was kind of the Laverne to her Shirley. And so some of these stories include her. So we got to have dinner together the other week. And I said, so I want to tell you what I'm thinking about doing. And I want your permission to air all of our hilarious dirty laundry. And she was so excited that I was doing this with you.
And you probably got to chat through the stories and kind of remember little details that you'd forgotten too.
Well, yeah. And she's the first one that can remind me of other really embarrassing things that I did that I obviously had tried to forget, but she wasn't letting me.
The point of this podcast is, like you said, to air our dirty laundry stories. And in doing that, make other people realize that people who on the outside look like they have it all together and couldn't possibly ever even stub their toe in front of someone have embarrassing stories too. None of us are as fancy as we look. And listeners, I just have to tell you, I've known Isla probably 12 years. And if you asked me to name the woman I know who has everything the most together, is super considerate, has such a sense of style, is always on time everywhere, and never lets anyone down, Isla Achabowski might be the first name out of my mouth. You guys can't see Isla, but she is adorable. She's super stylish. Before I moved away from Reno, I used to see her jogging down the road. I was driving down the road in my pajamas with a messy bun on the top of my head, and there's Isla jogging down the road in her little tennis outfit. And I'm like, of course she is. But we know each other a little better than that. And so I know that Isla is actually a normal human being and she knows the same about me. So it is just so much fun to talk to somebody who I so admire, but I also so relate to. So Isla, what do you have for us today? Tell us your first not so fancy moment that you can think of.
Joanne, that was so sweet. I think I just want to sit here and let you talk about that. And then I can go back and reintroduce myself with all of the fabulous things you said.
Oh, you're so funny. Well, that's one of the things I like about you. You don't toot your own horn, sister, and you totally could, but you don't.
So I have been following your podcast. You introduced me to the awesome world of podcasts, and I've been listening to yours, and I've picked a couple of others. But there's a common theme that keeps coming up on yours, and it's dogs who enjoy eating things out of the trash can. Uh-huh. So this dates back to the girlfriend that I mentioned. We were born and raised together in a small church in Fallon, a small town here in Nevada. It was a great place to be raised. Everybody knew everybody. You couldn't get away with anything, right? Yeah. So our pastor and his wife, when they would go out of town, would ask my friend Julie and I to house sit for them.
How fun.
We were probably seniors in high school, and it was the biggest treat in the world, right? We got to live by ourselves, but we're in the pastor's house, so of course we can't get in any trouble.
Yeah.
And they had a boxer that was basically their child because their kids were grown. So they have this boxer that means everything to them. And as good girlfriends do, we were very close. We spent a lot of time together. So, of course, our cycles were on the same track, right? Uh-huh. And so while we're staying at our pastor's house, we realized one morning before school that the dog is acting really weird. And we're watching the dog, and we realize something is coming out of the dog's backside. We're freaking out. We're concerned that we're going to have to take the dog to the vet. Something is going terribly wrong. And so, you know, we're getting a close up. We're investigating what is happening here. And we realize what it was. And we're like, oh my gosh. But the dog's struggling, rubbing his bottom on the ground. And we're supposed to be leaving for school now. And we have government first period. And we can't be late for school. And Mr. Lanners was a great teacher, but he wasn't going to let us get away with much. And if we were tardy together, that just tells him that something was going on.
Shenanigans,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
Shenanigans. But we're not about to leave this dog in the pickle that he's in. So we're chasing it around. We're trying to figure out what to do. We finally get this great idea that one of us is going to step on the string and the other one's going to call the dog.
Okay.
And we're, of course, freaked out, and we're teenagers. So there's a lot of giggling and a lot of squealing, but also a lot of concern that we're about to kill the pastor's dog. And anyways, our plan worked. We got it.
Really?
The dog survived. Now the two of us had to slink into Mr. Lanner's classroom. And of course, he wants to know where we've been. And we're not about to tell him why we were late, but he was not going to drop it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Please tell me you told the teacher the story. Please, please.
You know what? This is the worst part of my story, is that I can't remember if we told Mr. Lanner the story.
Maybe you blacked out. Like, having to talk to my teacher about tampons is just too more than my teenage mind can handle.
I know. We probably did. So we definitely called our moms. This is pre-cell phones. We let them know, you're not going to believe what happened. The most mortifying part, maybe, was our moms told the pastor and his wife what happened. Because you don't want your pastor to think you have your period.
I know. Right? How embarrassing. You don't even want your pastor to acknowledge that you're a girl when you're a teenager.
Right. We just were mortified. We're like, did that happen?
And so the next time you see your pastor, you're like, I can't even look him in the eye. Oh my gosh, he knows I use tampons. You can't help it. When you're a teenager, you're mortified.
Yeah.
Life is so embarrassing when you're a teenager.
It's so embarrassing. If we stay on the same topic of tampons, I'm curious, from your days in medicine, nobody ever told me that when you have an x-ray, a tampon shows up in your x-ray.
Isla, when I read that on your sheet, I was like, what? I'm embarrassed to admit to you that as a family physician who read x-rays, but not pelvic x-rays very often, mostly chest x-rays, I was like, okay. I did not know that.
Yeah, girlfriend, they show up. Okay, I feel a little better that you didn't know that. I was like, why didn't somebody tell me to not wear that? So I had gone to the chiropractor. And when she came back in the room and she put that x-ray up, you know, my eyes were just immediately drawn to the spot. And I was like, is that? And all I can think about is, we're just not talking about my tampon, I guess. It's right there. We're both looking at it. So in true Isla fashion, at the minute she walks out of the room, I pull out my cell phone. I take a picture of the x-ray. I send it to all of my girlfriends with, you know, the emoji with the big giant eyes. Like, no!
Public service announcement, ladies.
I know it was bad and obvious because I didn't even have to edit the picture and do the circle around where the tampon was. Everybody caught on really quick exactly what we were looking at.
Well, this is so funny. Now I'm going to have to Google it because, I mean, I can, of course, picture it in my head.
If I had it on my phone right now, I would text it to you because it is hilarious.
Oh my gosh, that is so, so funny. Oh, I love it. In a similar vein, I used to get bikini waxes. I don't anymore because I'm too lazy now to drive all the way into Missoula to do it. So I don't. And the lady that did my waxes in Reno became a good friend of mine, Bryna. Hi, Bryna, if you're listening, I miss you. But I used to be mortified that, you know, those few days a month, if my waxing appointment ever hit on the time, I'm like, if a string pops out of there, I swear I'm going to die a million deaths. And this is like a friend. So I don't, you know, some of that never goes away. I guess I'm trying to tell myself I'm all evolved and I don't get embarrassed about stuff anymore. But I do think that's not true, because thinking about the bikini waxes during that specific time period, there's something about a string, man.
So I've never had a bikini wax done professionally. Oh. We can talk about a bikini wax that my girlfriend and I did, but never occurred to me, right, that you could be on your period and that would be really awkward.
Oh, brother. And she's like, oh, don't worry about it. It happens all the time. Because they get in there, man. And I mean, if you just want a simple one, then they don't necessarily. But the kind I got, I was like, get rid of everything except the triangle in the front. And don't you dare make it a strip. That makes my hips look too wide. It has to be a triangle.
Yeah.
And my kids are like, Mom, you're so weird. I can't understand why you do that. And I'm like, someday you'll understand.
I love that they know that you do that.
Oh, yeah. Because not only am I like, I got to go get my bikini wax today. They walk in on me when I'm in the shower. Mom, can I have this? Can I have that? So like they know what I look like naked. It's just the way it is. And I guess we're on the less modest of the spectrum, since I don't know, we were both raised in medical households and we're just like, it's just bodies, you know. But I don't really know what the right thing to do is there. But yes, they definitely are not shy about coming into the bathroom while I'm showering.
We've never been that way in our house either. And I'm glad, and I want my kids to be proud of their bodies and not uncomfortable with them.
We're trying to prevent shame, right? Which is such a soul killer, you know?
It is. I like that we're not terribly modest, and I try not to talk poorly about my body ever, but definitely not in front of my kids. But if my daughter mm-hmm. says something now that she's 14 about an imperfection on her body, I like to point out an imperfection on my body, but kind of celebrate it.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, like we all know that I have a bigger tuchus, but I just roll with it. Like we all have something.
We're not cookie cutters, and thank goodness we aren't, because we'd be awfully bored.
So my best friend and I in college decided that we were going to broach the bikini wax.
Ah, okay.
Like, who needs to go get it done when you can buy it at Walmart?
Totally.
You buy the little tub of wax. You've got your best friend. What more do you need?
Love it.
Yeah. So we lived in a studio in Phoenix. A studio. That's how close we were.
Aww.
We had a futon that made out into two twin beds every night, and then it became our couch by day.
Oh, that's so cute.
So we shared a lot of space. So sharing a bikini wax didn't seem like a big step. What we didn't put a lot of thought into is how much wax. I don't know if we didn't read the instructions correctly. I don't know what went wrong, but our bikini area was completely covered in wax.
Oh my gosh.
And it wasn't coming off. Either.
Oh, that's so scary.
So at first we're kind of giggling like, okay, no big deal. But then we could not get rid of it, and it was sticky. And so we were using warm compresses to try and melt it. Then that's not working. We're like, well, we'll just get our razors out.
Oh,
I don't know how we thought we were razor through wax. And then we're like, we're just going to ignore it. We're just going to put our panties on, and it's just going to wear off. Well, that doesn't work either. So basically now your entire nether regions are stuck together in a big waxy ball, and there is no way to get that stuff off or that a couple of college age girls could figure out.
It's not like you're going to walk into the pharmacy and go, hey, I got one for you. How do I get myself out of this pickle?
If you knew what was going on down here, you'd be dying. And I remember sitting half naked in our bathtub with just like boiling hot water, as hot as we could get the water, just hoping that it was going to melt off of us. And we look at each other and we go, this is bad. This is really bad.
We have hit an all-time low.
And I'm not talking 15 minutes at this point. We were a good 45 minutes in of trying. We were a mess. But then the country girls in us remembered, when you go and cut a Christmas tree, you get sap on your hands and it's really sticky, and you have to use an oil-based product to get the sticky off.
Yes.
And we looked at one another and we're like, we can do this. And I don't know if we used lotion or what, but we got the wax off.
Olive oil from the kitchen.
Probably, Joanne, but we didn't get rid of any hair.
That is brilliant. I was like, I'm glued to the phone. I have to hear how this ends up because I was like, I'm out of ideas. I don't know what you would do.
I know. I remember the relief that came over us when we were finally, our crotch area was free of the wax. We were like, oh my gosh. Because we were ready to go to the crazy place for a while there.
Oh my gosh. What I need to know now is, have you ever tried waxing your nether regions since then, or did it permanently scar you away from that behavior?
Scarred me. I am a lifelong shaver.
Okay. Even though that's itchy, scratchy, man. It comes in so sharp.
Yep. Me and my Venus razor, we take care of everything.
Wow. That's impressive. You probably got some techniques there, but.
Well, it's been 25 years. I don't wax my eyebrows. I don't wax anything. I think I'm forever
100% wax averse. Do you burn candles?
I'm 100% wax because it just takes one bad experience and you're done. I'm cracking up because all of my stories have had to do with my nether regions.
Remember that party that you threw a few years ago? It's lots of years ago now. I loved it. It was so cute. You had your girlfriends from different walks of life over to your house around Christmas time, and you had this beautiful table set and all the linens and a centerpiece and a gorgeous little gift at every. And you guys, listen to this because I think it's such a good idea. She had these little gifts, and what they were was like a cocktail ring, and each one was different, and they were so beautiful and such a conversation piece, and it was just such a neat night. She made the food herself. She served it. This is probably one of the reasons why, like, surely Isla does not have any embarrassing story. She can pull something like that off. But I remember something funny that happened, and you have to tell me if you remember this.
Okay, I can't wait.
So I'm sitting there eating, and there's a gal like two seats down from me, and she spills her red wine, which is fine. You know, we're all laughing and, you know, we're talking with our hands. So a little bit of spilt wine is no surprise. So I don't really remember what you did. You probably scurried up and said, oh, no problem. And you mopped it up and made sure she had more wine. Well, then she spilled her wine again. And she's like, what is wrong with me? And then a few minutes later, she goes, I realize what it is. I'm on the crack. Your eyes got so big. And I think pretty fast, you realize what she meant. Her glass was on a crack between two tables underneath the linens. You had two tables coming together right there. But for a split second, you were like, oh, I thought you meant you were on the crack, like the crack cocaine.
You do not have those kind of friends ever for dinner.
That's right. You're like, I knew you were zany, but that is just too much. Oh my gosh, that was so funny. I haven't thought about that in years.
No invites for the people on crack.
You check your crack at the door.
Totally.
Do you remember that?
I do not remember that story, but I love that you're reminding me because those dinners, I haven't done those in a few years. They were my most favorite at the holidays with so everybody fun. Around. I love a dinner table. I love a 3-hour dinner. Uh-huh. With everybody sitting around the table talking.
I love that too.
One of my favorite things in life.
Oh my gosh. And you know what I love? I love restaurants. Restaurant owners, pay attention. I love restaurants that have big round tables because I feel like the best conversation is at a table where everyone can see everyone. And if I remember correctly, you had the table so that it was like a big square, like we could all see each other. So it wasn't like this long, skinny banquet table where you have no clue what's going on at the other end of the table. Right. And so we all could interact with each other. And so it just lent itself to everybody kind of being in one conversation, everybody focused towards the center. And it was just a really, really fun time. Really fun. And you did a gift exchange too. And I remember I got false eyelashes, which I'm hoarding. I still haven't put them on, but I still have them. Moved them to Montana.
You know, we were just talking about this, a couple friends of mine recently, about how, I mean, for some girls right now, it's part of their makeup routine
every day. Oh my gosh. Way too much trouble for me. But I do use the stuff that makes my eyelashes grow because I am a little vain. I mean, I do realize that a long, full lash does make for a better look.
It does.
Do you do eyelashes?
No, but well, I had Emma, my daughter, put some on me for a date night with Dad one night. We bought some and I go, hey, we're going to use those one night. We laughed so hard at how ridiculous I looked. And we didn't get like big giant ones. You know, I was trying to be conservative, which is mm-hmm. hilarious. Conservative in fake eyelash land.
I know.
But I looked like a fool.
But I am tempted by the magnetic lashes. Were yours magnetic or were they glue?
No, I haven't even heard of that, Joanne.
Really? You buy this magnetic eyeliner. You put the magnetic eyeliner right where you want the lashes. Mm-hmm. And then the lashes just magnet on. I don't know if it really works or not.
And can you use them day after day?
Yeah, they're reusable.
Yeah. See, this conversation is making me want to try.
I know. I think you should. Because you're definitely one who takes a lot of care with her appearance. I think that you could pull it off. And you know, I hear that J-Lo wears nothing but mink lashes. If you could get your hands on some magnetic mink lashes, you might never go back.
And then I'm basically J-Lo.
Exactly. You already got the tuchus, right?
I do have the tuchus.
I say that because you mentioned it, but I honestly can't remember. I don't think you have a big tuchus. You're pretty tiny.
I need to learn to shake a tuchus the way she does.
Oh, yeah. All right, you have got to tell me, you have another nether region story, and it has to do with TJ Maxx, and I think we need to hear it.
Joanne, does every woman have one of these stories where she's tucked her dress into her thong and strutted herself through a store?
No, only episode 2, my sister-in-law.
You remember what it was like when the kids were little and we couldn't go to a store without them, and so you had one in a Baby Bjorn in front of you, you had one in a stroller. So I had to use the restroom at TJ Maxx, and like every rotten department store, grocery store, they like to put the restroom in the very, 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 very back, right? So we finish up in the restroom. And again, let's go back to, I don't have the smallest tuchus. And I was wearing a thong. I actually learned my lesson after this. When I wear a dress now, and I preach this to my daughter all the time, if you're wearing a skirt or a dress, you wear granny panties. This was the time when I learned this lesson. At the time, the dresses were kind of I'm going to call it like a lampshade sundress.
Oh, yes.
A little tighter at the top, but it just kind of billowed out and it was shorter, but very loose and
yes.
Wide. Nobody told me all the way to the front of the store. I just can only imagine what it looked like from the backside. So I got all the way to the front, almost to the checkout counter, when some nice woman goes, "Excuse me, your dress is tucked in." And she said it in a really nice way, not like, "Oh my gosh,
everybody look."
I think I had purchases that I had left in a cart outside of the bathroom the way you do. So I think that was the other thing, is I'm kids and I had my cart trying to go to the checkout. I left all of that stuff there. There was not a purchase happening that day.
Oh my gosh.
I was mortified.
You fled the scene.
Mortified.
Oh, you poor thing.
I fled the scene fast.
I don't blame you. Oh, and it's like, you want to kind of scan the room real quick to see who saw it. But then again, you're like, I can't handle it. I'm just leaving. I can't even see who saw it. If I make eye contact, God forbid, was somebody I know, like superficially.
Totally.
Just, it's like your heart can only handle so much.
Yeah. Because I have a local business, I have done a commercial here locally for 20
years.
Yes,
yes.
So even though there is nothing, we'll use the word famous, about me, if you live in Reno or Sparks, you've seen me on TV for the last 20 years doing my little 30-second commercial spot.
Totally.
So if people recognize me.
It is like you're a local celebrity in that you don't know them, but they know you.
There is not a day that goes by that somebody doesn't go, "Oh, you're so-and-so," or, "Oh, I recognize your voice." All I can think in that moment is, and now they saw my ass. I was mortified, Joanne.
Oh, Isla. I want to know how long it took you to get over that. Did you cry when you got to your car? I bet I would have. When my kids were little, that would have rocked me.
Yeah. I don't tend to cry about stuff like that or lose sleep. My go-to is always call someone and laugh about it.
Oh my gosh. That's so healthy.
I'm able to laugh at myself, fortunately, but the fact that I'm talking about it 15 years later, it's definitely stuck with me as a mortifying moment.
It obviously left an impression.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Darn it.
Oh my gosh, you poor thing. Well, now it's time to talk about what you have been loving lately that you think the listeners will love too.
I'm a foodie. I love food. I love homemade food. I love ethnic food. I love gourmet food. I love mm-hmm. to cook. I love food. However, I'm kind of on a vegan kick.
Oh.
And I call myself an 80-20 vegan because I'm never going to be, it's just not who I am. I love food too much to ever count anything out. But there is a fabulous documentary on Netflix called The Game Changers, and it's athletes from all different sports, all talking about the benefits of a plant-based diet.
Hmm.
So at first I was like, maybe I'm crazy, but this documentary is awesome and it really spoke to me and it made a lot of sense. So I asked him to watch it. I said, you know, debunk this for me. And he watched it and he was like, that's an amazing documentary. So he would never be vegan, but he's far more on board if I try to make more plant-based meals than not. Just removing that stuff from my diet a little bit, I have really liked it.
Wow.
It definitely has changed the way I look at food.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Okay, I can't wait to see that. And I'll definitely link to it in the show notes. What is the best advice you've ever been given?
I can't think of the best advice I've been given in terms of business or in being a woman. I can't think of one line, but as from a parenting piece of advice, and I still think it holds true today, is that everything is a phase and a stage. And when I think about everything with the kids, all the little phases and stages that we've gone through and all the things that felt really hard and like, oh my gosh, this is the hardest thing we've had to deal with so far. It's all been a phase and a stage.
Yes. Oh, that is so good, because I'm usually an optimist, but for some reason with my kids, especially my first one, it was like, oh, great. Now this is our new life. Forever our life is going to be like this. I'm going to be sleeping in 20-minute increments. And once you have that second child, you have a little more perspective about, okay, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
What is one surprising thing about you that somebody wouldn't know just by looking?
Anybody who knew me when my kids were little knew that my kids were adopted. It was just, everybody knew I wasn't the mom breastfeeding. Or when Emma was born 2 years after Evan, everybody knew I hadn't been pregnant. So it just came out the other day that people don't realize that my kids are both adopted and I've never had a biological child. This is how it came out. I had this little tiny cyst on my leg. I had it removed the other day. It was completely vein. I didn't like the way it looked.
Okay.
I went to a plastic surgeon and I was totally nervous. Like I was a wreck. I was so nervous about it. And I knew the plastic surgeon. She's a local mom. So I knew her. So I said in kind of a joking way, I've never had stitches. I've never had a surgery and I've never had a broken bone. And she just kind of giggled, but I was trying to like tell her how nervous I was. So she does the procedure. It takes like 6 minutes, Joanne. And as she's getting ready to walk out of the room, she taps me on the leg. And now, mind you, I cried when she started only because I was nervous.
I'm sorry.
So as she's walking out of the room, she goes, Isla, I knew you would be fine. You've had two babies. And she kept on walking.
You're like, wait, wait, come back. Hang on. Rewind.
I'm like, and I haven't done that either. I didn't say that, but that was one of those moments where I'm like, people don't know that about me.
Interesting. Huh. And you've always been really open with your kids about that. And that's kind of another thing I've really admired about you, is how you guys decided to handle that. And it seems like you just are a house full of really well-adjusted people. I love it.
We've just always believed that it's something to be very proud of. It's also become a joke. So my husband was adopted, and then we got our dog. We love her. We got her from the Humane Society. We adopted her. So the joke in our house is really, I'm the odd man out. Everybody else is adopted.
I love it. Oh, that's so funny. Oh my gosh, Isla, thank you so much for sharing all of your crazy stories. I had so much fun. I miss you.
Aww.
We crossed paths kind of at random times in the last several years. And every time I see you, I'm like, why don't I see her more often? I like her so much. So this was so much fun.
Joanne, thanks. This was such a treat. I'll totally admit, part of the reason I wanted to do it, I was like, I'm going to get to catch up with Joanne.
So fun. It's like this perfect excuse to catch up with people that you wouldn't necessarily just pick the phone up and call.
That makes perfect sense. Well, you're missed, just so you know. I think of you often.
Thank you. Oh, Isla, this was so fun.
Wasn't Isla a hoot? Oh my gosh, she's just great. And if you didn't happen to listen to the first episode of season 2, which is episode number 24, you have got to go back and listen because Isla's on that one too. It's a compilation episode with 8 terrible but funny first date stories. So go check that out. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Fancy Free Podcast. I'm having so much fun having you with us. I want to tell you about our guest for next week. Her name is Melissa Guida Richards. She's an author, mom, and adoptee, and she has a book coming out. The book title is Bedtime, The Ultimate Battle, and it's a humorous sleep guide that contains the meat and potatoes of sleep solutions for babies and toddlers. And it releases tomorrow, and you can get it wherever books are sold. So go check it out. If I heard that there was a book entitled Bedtime, The Ultimate Battle, I would have been running to the bookstore because we had such a hard time getting a sleep routine going with our first, and it was so exhausting. If you're going through that, I promise this book will help you. Don't forget to subscribe to Fancy Free so that new episodes pop into your feed each week. And if you have a not-so-fancy story to tell, please email me. The email address is notfancy@fancyfreepodcast.com, and I would love to hear a little bit about your story. Check out our Facebook group. It's a private group where we do a question of the week each week, and we tell each other different embarrassing stories, and it's just a lot of fun. It's the Fancy Free Facebook group. Make sure to follow the Fancy Free Podcast on Instagram, and you could do me a big, giant favor and do a quick little rate and review of the podcast. I found an easier way to do it. So you go to www.ratethispodcast.com/fancyfree, and then it'll walk you through all the steps. You don't have to do any app gymnastics on whatever app you're doing. You can just go to your computer or to your browser on your phone, type in www.ratethispodcast.com/fancyfree, and you can enter a review. And that would be so great. The question of the week this week for the Facebook group is, what is the most embarrassing story that you have which involves your nether regions? And this is in honor of Isla and all of her nether region stories. I hope you have a wonderful week. Make sure to return next week to hear Melissa Guida Richards. She has a very funny story about actually the newborn period when she had just had her first child. And you're going to love it. So make sure you come back next week for that. Until then, remember, no one is as fancy as they look.